and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today we are joined by a very special guest. This lady is a superstar both in front and behind the film camera. It's Lucy Boff. How are you going today, Lucy?
I am very well, Goff. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. We had a debate earlier about your surname. Did I get it right?
You did. You did. That's it's quite impressive.
Well, you know, what can I say? So let's go back to the beginning. Where did a little Lucy have an interest in film? Where did it develop for you, Lucy?
Oh, gosh, that's a big question. Okay, well, my interest in film actually started before film on the stage. So when I was a wee one, my mum, who's a teacher, would direct the high school musicals at the school that she worked at. She actually wrote a couple as well. Not the music, but, you know, she put pre-existing songs into a musical story. And I, as a toddler, would go along and watch the rehearsals, and I'd see all the shows, and I loved it. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to perform and be on stage. And, it kind of just developed from there.
And so then where did the being behind the camera sort of situation come into it?
Well, I think a lot of actors will tell you that at some point you kind of go, wow, the acting jobs are coming in thick and fast and I really have no time to... No. if I'm going to get jobs, if I'm going to do the work, then I'm going to make stuff myself. You personally would understand that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's where it came from. And also I think being an actor, wanting to understand how everything works on the other side. Because I think people who understand the filmmaking process are better actors in terms of set etiquette and like they're good people to work with, basically.
So, fast forwarding a little bit. So my set etiquette, how would we, because Lucy's worked on many a Beer Nuts Productions film, which we'll get into shortly, but how would you rate my set etiquette?
I don't know if I'd use the word etiquette, Goff.
No, what word would we use?
Be
careful.
What's boot camp? Yeah, you're a bit of a drill sergeant. Not in a bad way. Just did it like very efficient. Yeah, you know what you want and how to get it, and it's yeah.
Well, that's I would consider that to be a good thing.
I think it is a good thing. Absolutely.
All right, now back to Lucy, because this is all about you.
Yeah, I got a bit worried there that we were talking about you for too long.
No, it's fair enough. So, you said you started with acting. Have you enjoyed being behind the camera just as much? Or, like, if I said to you, Lucy, for the rest of your career, you can only do one thing, would it be something behind or something in front? Or where would you be?
Oh, man. Oh, why you gotta ask me stuff like that? Look, if I had to choose, acting is my first love. Yeah, I would always want to do that because, yes, when I'm on set in another role as an actor or whatever, I will look at the director and go, oh, I'd love to do that, you know, but it's much more powerful in the other direction. If I'm crewing on anything, I'm looking at the actors going, I want to do that. Let me do that.
No, fair enough. And so is there any particular advice that either an acting coach or a talent agent or someone has given you that's really stuck for you and you thought, yeah, that's and it's really worked for you? Is there any particular advice in regards to your acting that has really been helpful for you?
Yeah. Yes. I think some of my more recent training it kind of zeroed in on the idea that you're not a person playing a character, as in a person that's like completely removed from you. There's always you in every character that you play. And some of the best casting and the most natural casting that you see, you go, oh, that just seems like what that person is like in real life. I mean, people play opposite type all the time. That's a thing. But and then finding that about myself and respecting that part of myself, that me as a person, I'm not boring or uninteresting. I've got a lot to give. And these people that I then, these roles that I take on are building on top of me, what I already have, rather than creating a whole separate person, separate from Lucy Boff, who's way cooler than Lucy Boff or, you know.
And so you said earlier about doing stage plays and stuff when you were a kid at school.
Mm-hmm.
Is theatre something that you, A, enjoy going to watch as a customer, and B, something that you, because I don't know, have you done much theatre work? I know you of doing a lot of film work, but have you done much theatre?
I have done a little bit of musical theatre. I haven't done a lot of like stage work, stage plays. I am famously, to myself and my peers, a very busy person. I have a lot of stuff going on. And Goff looks confused. He's like, I've never heard that.
No, not at all.
You seem very leisurely. No. Yes, I love theatre, but it is a large time commitment. You know, each theatre project, you're rehearsing for months usually, and then you have a big run of shows. So yeah, I love it. I love going to see it. I love when I have friends in shows because it gets me out seeing like a lot of interesting theatre, new works and things like that, that, you know, you might not otherwise see if your mate didn't message you and say, hey, please buy tickets to my show.
Well, that brings me to another thing, something that I didn't know. That means you're able to bust out a tune when required, which I didn't realize, because I've always seen you as an actor, and I haven't really thought of you as a musical theatre type of an actor. Is busting out a tune something you enjoy?
It is. It is. I don't do it a lot in a professional context, but I do sing in the car a lot.
You have a go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, this is a really hard one. I have a lot of songs that I'm like, that would be awesome at karaoke, and then I get to karaoke and do you think I can think of a single singular song that's ever been written? No. But I have decided recently that my favourite karaoke song is Zombie by the Cranberries.
Okay, very, and with the
part. Exactly, and beautifully performed, Goff.
I know, right? Yes, absolutely. I have the voice of an angel. So as we mentioned previous, you have done a lot of work for Beer Nuts Productions, both in front and behind the camera. Is there any Beer Nuts Productions stories or incidents or moments that stand out to you as being humorous or fun or just of interest?
Oh, that's also a tough question. We've done a few now.
We've done quite a lot, absolutely.
Yeah. Funny incident. I mean, look, it's kind of funny because you're working on comedy. It's all funny.
Well, that's also the correct answer because I write nothing but hilarious content. But there's nothing that, you've done quite a few projects. There's nothing that stands out to you as being a funny moment behind the scenes or a bit of something interesting that took place?
I don't know. Do I want to rat you out on things, Goff? Is that what this segment's about?
Well, you can if you want to. I don't give a shit. I can always edit it out if I don't like it.
So. That's really fair. I think probably the most entertaining thing for me personally was on our most recent shoot of yours, your Halloween film. And we had quite a lot to organise. We had kids in costumes and all sorts of things. And I'm looking at the children and you know, interacting with them and speaking with them and being, the whole drive down, I was like, now, Lucy, don't say fuck. Like, don't say fuck in front of the children because it's probably one of my favourite words. And then we finish a take and Goff opens the door back up and goes, that was fucking awesome.
Well, if it's good, it's good.
And I was like, okay, I'm all right.
Well, I should point out that the kids were saying fuck in the script, so I figure if they're going to say, they know the word exists because I'm making them say it. So the parents clearly are fine with it, so we just let it all hang out.
Exactly. No, it's, you know, be yourself, I say.
Absolutely. Now, of course, that particular film was called Trick or Treat, a hilarious Beer Nuts film. And like I say, you've done some amazing work both in front and behind the camera for me. But it's not just Beer Nuts Productions that you've worked for. You've done your own work. You've done a film called The Passenger, which I watched and I enjoyed. Are you able to tell us how you directed that particular film?
Yes.
Are you able to tell us how that film came into your orbit?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you the slightly shortened version, which is as long as you have absolutely no follow-up questions. In 2022, I did a project where we did 12 shorts in 12 months, so one a month. Based off of that, I met a guy called Steve Stubbs, who has a production company called Pacific Island Films. And we talked about making another film, a short film together that he had written together with his friend John Bannis. And he said, do you want to produce this with me? And I said, yeah, sure. Let me just, after I've done 12 in a row, let me add another one to my slate because I'm insane. Why not? And so, yeah, we started talking about it and it came to be that we were short a director and I hadn't really done it before. So I lightly floated to Steve and to our cinematographer, director of photography, what about me? And expecting them to go, oh, no, look, we really need blah, blah. Both of them just go, oh, yeah, we were just kind of waiting to see whether you would ask. Like, we'd kind of thought of you and just we didn't know whether you wanted to do it. So there I was.
Okay, cool. Side question. Doing 12 films in 12 months, was that a fun experience?
It's a fun experience in the sense that it's insane. And it becomes fun because you lose a part of your sanity. Like it was great, really lovely to work with so many people, but I can't recommend it if you want to maintain, you know, other areas of your life.
Did you have what's the right way to put it? When you look back at the 12 films, are you really proud of all 12 of them? Go, you know what, that's really good. You know, for the limited time, money, and energy that we have to make this particular piece, I'm really quite proud of how that particular one came out and how that particular one, like, is it something you look back with a little bit of fondness?
Yeah, absolutely. I do, because I learned so much as well.
What did you learn?
Oh, I learned that it's not ideal, but you can crew a short film in the space of about 48 hours if you really need to. Again, I can't recommend it.
No, I wouldn't recommend that either, but fair enough.
Yeah.
Is that the only lesson you learned?
No, not at all. I met a lot of really fantastic people, really talented people who do really good work in their, you know, in their spheres of genius. And I think it taught me that you can make stuff. You know, you don't have to wait around for Hollywood to give you a bell. Yeah, we can tell our own stories, and I think that's really important.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, 100%. So getting back to The Passenger, like I say, I watched it, I enjoyed it. I thought it was beautifully shot. What sort of challenges did you have in shooting it?
Mostly scheduling, if I'm honest. The hilarious, I don't know if you've done Project Scoff set entirely at night. It's a kind of a different proposition to working during the day. Everything feels a little bit more under the pump. You're not dealing with the sun shining down on you, which is kind of nice sometimes. But yes, it's the middle of the night. You have to be a lot quieter if you're in suburban areas or out somewhere in public, you know, filming in public. You have the public to deal with. That was probably one of the challenges. You see in the film, there's a couple of shots of we're outside. We were sort of down under the Story Bridge. It's quite a public park down there. We roll up to do this really kind of tense, quiet scene in the car. There's a moment in the car with the two characters before they get out of the car. And there was a like 50 person dance party barbecue happening in the park, like right next door. And Steve, who's my co-producer, is also a very, very good soundie, on-set soundie. And we just look at him and we're like, are you going to be able to fix this? He's like, yeah. and we did. And it was, you don't hear, reggaeton in the background of the film. So we managed.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Claire, who was the main actress in that film, was very good. Where did she come into it? Had you met Claire previous? Did you know Claire? What was your experience with Claire?
I did know Claire. Claire and I had met in an acting class. Don't ask me when, at some point. Crossed paths a few times. And we had been taking submissions. So we did our own casting. We took a bunch of submissions for each role. And Steve said to me, he goes, oh, I've been watching people's reels, you know, their show reels, which is, you know, your actor submits their body of work sort of snippets. And he goes, and there's an actress that keeps popping up, not as the person that's been submitted, but the person that's the scene partner in these. And I was like, oh, that's never a good sign if your scene partner's
outstaging you.
Yeah, standing out more than you, but I'm okay. And he goes, I've found out who she is and I've reached out to her. And then he showed me that it was Claire. And I was like, oh, of course. Yes, we should definitely get Claire to audition. And she nailed it. Yeah. I mean, we had some really brilliant submissions. Don't get me wrong. There were some really fabulous actors who put forward tapes, but she just got the balance of, you know, vulnerability, sensuality, and that little edge of sort of danger, which we were really looking for.
So. Yeah, she was terrific. I thought she was great. So in regards to show reels and so forth, do you have any good advice for actors who are doing a show reel? The do's and don'ts of show reels?
Yes. Don't act opposite someone who's demonstrably better than you. no, that is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's fairly good advice also. Just present the work that you're most proud of. I think we get caught up in wanting to have perfection. Oh, I can't show anyone until it's perfect. I've started just posting like class footage, you know, self-tape stuff on my Instagram. That's really scary at first. That's also what my reel is comprised of. It's just show reel footage because it's the most up to date. It is the most contemporary examples of my work. If I go and shoot something professionally and then wait for someone to edit it and cut it all together, et cetera, I'm already a couple of months behind. I'm doing better work than that now, hopefully. So, yeah, that's my advice.
Well, because it's funny, I've told you this story before. So you were introduced to me as a crew member because I had a crew member pull out like 24 hours before a shoot. And Lucy stepped into the role, which was very good of her, and she did a wonderful job. But I had no idea she was an actor until I was on Instagram, and I follow Lucy on Instagram, and all of a sudden a showreel came up, and I'm like, oh, shit, she's a really good actor. I had absolutely no clue at all. So that's that just goes to show what a good showreel can do, because since then I've been hiring you as an actor more than a crew member.
That's what we like.
There's no real question. It was more just a general story, but you're free to comment if you wish. But
no, I think that's it. I think you kind of summed up the point exactly. Often if you're not sharing, people don't know.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So you also currently have a serial killer web series that you're currently producing. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that's all coming along and where people can start to look and find it?
Yes. So I am co-producing, co-writing, co-directing, co-starring, wearing all the hats.
You're catering as well?
Yeah, you know we're catering off. It's independent film. We're doing everything. Yes. Hilariously, we were actually just discussing that today. Like, what kind of salad do you think that... So together with my co...
Hey, you don't make friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad, Goth. I hate to correct you. No, I love to correct you. That's one of my favorite things. My co-conspirator, I call her because it's easier than listing out all the things, Suzanne Webke and I, we put our heads together and thought, what's just like a fun, absurd thing that we can create that's going to be interesting, compelling, and we can start producing in, you know, what I refer to as the vertical space, but it's, you know, shit you watch on your smartphone, basically. That's just, the industry has decided it's got a fancy name now, vertical content or online content. So we've written that, we're in pre-production at the moment.
What genre are we talking?
Genre, we're talking absurd comedy. Something close to your heart.
Yeah,
Goff.
No, I dig, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. You know, just kind of leaning into that, into the social media short form space. So like, you know, snappy, quick turnarounds and cuts and really short episodes to keep keep the attention span engaged, hopefully.
Well, and how many episodes are you hoping to be able to punch out?
So we've got 14 episodes. They're a minute to a minute and a half. And then we have probably 15 to 20 what we're calling bonus content, which is like mock kind of behind the scenes interview style character building stuff. So outside of the episodes where you see, you know, snippets of the characters, you'll get like a little insight into that person's crazy world.
That sounds very cool.
Mm.
And so where can people, I know we're only in the pre-production stage, so it hasn't been released just yet, but where can people start to follow and like and get excited about it?
Yes, well, you can start following us on Instagram. We're at serial_killers_anon_series. That's where we're sharing currently pre-production updates, little snippets. We've got some of our cast now starting to make kind of their own little behind-the-scenes videos in character to start introducing you to some of the world and the characters before we do the official shoot early next year.
And is there an end goal? Like you'd like to expand this to something bigger, or is it just a fun side thing, or is it more than just that you'd like to make it even bigger and better going forward and hopefully it grows and grows and grows?
Yeah, I mean, we have some ideas for like a second season. So we'd love to, you know, build that world out even more and build out the characters. And then I think on like a bigger scale, we would love to just create more content online and engage more people, as in more creatives in our sphere, to also create alongside us, maybe provide a platform for, you know, if someone wants to create something and use our channel as like as their platform, then we can do that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And if people want to learn more about Lucy Boff, where can they go?
Well, you can actually go to lucindaboff.com. I have that domain. I had to fight nobody because it's a uncommon name. Or I'm at lucindaboff at Instagram, on Instagram. And that's Boff, B-O-P-F. You hear the...
Well, yes, I was going to let people know that, because if they can't spell it, they can't find you.
Yes. I have watched people type it incorrectly as I'm spelling it to them. So best of luck.
All right, fair enough. Well, that brings us to the end of this particular episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Thank you so much for coming in today, Lucy.
Thanks for having me, Goff.
My pleasure. And thank you all for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment. 5 stars is always good. And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs, including to see Lucinda bust out some hilarious work, both in front and behind the camera. So thank you again for coming in today, Lucy.
Thanks, Goff.
Until next time, we shall talk to you then.